Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to another episode of Interop Radio. This is a special episode because it is episode number 2 of Interop Live. This is coming to you live from what will be the show floor at Interop 2015 in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm your host, Kurt Franklin, and we are here at the beautiful Mandalay Bay Convention Center in scenic Las Vegas, Nevada, where the... Well, the forklifts are a little quieter today. The snorkel lifts, the platforms, they're all quiet because, well, it's Sunday, and even Teamsters and stagehands need a day of rest. So they're doing that by and large, but those of us here, part of the NOC team, we're hard at work making the network for InteropNet and the SDN Lab come to life for all of the attendees who are going to be here this week. Now, today I've got a couple of very special guests, at least one of whom has never been on Interop Radio before. I want to welcome Ainsley Croteau from the University of New Hampshire. Ainsley, welcome to Interop Radio.
Hello.
Well, now, Ainsley is one of the people who we refer to here at Interop as an ITM, that's an InteropNet team member. And these are, well, to be honest, they're sort of the foot soldiers of the InteropNet team. When you see network cables that are very nicely terminated, that have been very safely taped down to avoid becoming a tripping hazard, the odds are very good that an ITM did that. And Ainsley, first of all, tell me what you've been doing since you arrived here at Interop. What's been your experience as an ITM so far?
Well, I started by, you know, terminating cables, just like you said. Did a lot of physical networking, and then a lot of business networking too, which is really great. And there's a lot of education going on here, so I'm learning a lot about a lot. It's overwhelming, but in a great way. And recently started working with SDN Labs, which is something that I'm personally interested in, which was a great opportunity for me.
Well, now, tell me a little bit. Now, you are a student at the University of New Hampshire.
I'm a student at Great Bay Community College. I work for the University of New Hampshire.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, how did you find out about the InteropNet opportunity? What led you to be an ITM here?
So I work at the UNH IOL, the Interoperability Lab, which is a third-party neutral testing lab. And the marketing team there likes to forward opportunities like this to the student employees. And so in our weekly newsletter, they just kind of had an advertisement out, like, who wants to go check out InteropNet? We are taking 2 volunteers. And I was like, that's me. I want to do it.
Well, outstanding. I have seen you running around doing all kinds of stuff here. What sorts of tasks have they given you to do here at Interop?
Terminating cables, a lot of that. I've been, you know, patching and pushing PEDs around.
Well, I heard you mention earlier the education and networking part of mm-hmm. it. And I know for our listeners who aren't aware, every day there are a couple of meetings that are mandatory meetings. Usually there's one that's a little less formal in the morning. And then every evening before dinner, there is a meeting where we do a wrap-up, see what's gone on during the day, what's about to come up for the evening, what remains to be done for the day ahead. And I know that on at least one of those, our lead architect for InteropNet, Glenn Evans, asked you a couple of questions mm-hmm. About some fairly basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the kind of education that's been going? Tell me about the education that you've been able to take advantage of here at InteropNet.
Yep. So starting with things like what cables do we run here and what do they do? And then, you know, we take classes like we learned about DNS, path solution software, which was really cool. you know, just basic, like, you know, the different layers that goes into networking, and it's a more in-depth talk on it. And I don't know.
Well, now, you are a, I'm assuming that because of where you're working and where you're going to school, that you are a computer science or computer engineering, some sort of computer area major. But is the kind of information that you're getting here different than the kind of education you're getting back at the college?
Yeah, so I am majoring in computer science, and a lot of the a lot of what I'm learning is like software engineering, programming. And so I don't really get the experience of putting together a network or, you know, seeing how this is done. You know, sometimes we do work with that at the lab, but, you know, being able to do that is something that I don't really get to do. So it's a lot of fun to be able to experience that.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that it's a lot of fun, because that's something that I hear even from our InteropNet team members who are not ITMs, the people who are here as representatives of companies and such. You know, a lot of these folks are very senior engineers, architects, executives of various sorts. But even they talk about how much they enjoyed being able to get hands-on with this thing, whether it's racking servers or terminating cables, because for a lot of us, it really does get back to the kind of stuff that brought us into the field. And it's a neat experience to be doing it with people at different levels, different points in their careers. Now, in addition, I know that there have been some classes, and you talked to a little bit about a couple of them, but I was fascinated because I sat in on the last few minutes of a class that was given by Rob Nagy, who is the CEO at Deep Dive Networks. And he had finished the talk about the technology portion of the class and was really talking about career stuff. Is that something that surprises you a little bit, to be hearing about the career end of things at an opportunity like this? Or were you expecting that along with all of the tech stuff?
I was definitely expecting a little bit about the business side of things, but his business was definitely unique, and I liked hearing about how Deep Dive, you know, handles their employee. It was really interesting.
It was, and again, Rob is a fascinating guy. We hope to have Rob on as a guest for InteropNet Radio a bit later on in the week. I can remember when Rob was an ITM. That's how he got started with InteropNet and got started in the industry. And now he is the president of a company here working as one of the team leads at InteropNet. And his company is partnered with a number of different high-level vendors here. So it's been an interesting example of just how the education and the human networking can go into a career when people take advantage of it. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that I've got to ask you about, Ainsley, something that we've talked about here on InteropNet Radio and that we've talked about also over in my other role at Information Week, is the role of women in the tech industries, especially computer science and networking. So let me first ask, in your classes, are you unique? Are there a lot of women in the classes for computer science and working in the labs there at UNH? How is your experience there?
So in school, I'm actually eligible for certain scholarships because I'm a female in the in a technology major or STEM major, which I find interesting. There aren't a lot of women in my school that major in computer science. There's a few in IT, but there's only a handful of us in computer science. At work, there's a lot of women there, but I'm the only female in my consortium. We had recently started a working group called Women in Technology, which was fascinating that they wanted to put forth an effort to make women feel more comfortable in the STEM world, especially at UNH, where, you know, it's not common to see women doing STEM. But it actually, it's funny because it seemed like we wanted to bring men into it too. We didn't want it to be strictly female. So we wanted to show men what it's like, you know, how we want to be involved. But men, they didn't want to do it because they were like, oh, it's women in technology. That's not for us. So we had to change the name so that they would be more involved.
It is amazing how labels and words can make such a huge difference in something like that. Now, do you feel that do you feel unusual being a woman in the area, or is it just something where you're there doing what you want to do and you are who you are regardless of again, labels or whatever people might want to assign to you?
I think unusual is an interesting word. I'm not uncomfortable. I definitely feel like I'm a part of this and I don't feel left out or anything. And it was very easy for me to just come right in and make friends and do what I got to do. But unusual in the sense that I sometimes do feel a little isolated, you know, not always having another woman around to kind of just bond with. But it's not like I'm forcing myself not to, I don't know how to say that, but it's not that I can't bond with men. It's just sometimes easier to bond with women. And last night, Sally Toner, who's here with Path Solutions,
right?
She was saying that she's usually the only female here doing NOC, or one of the only females here doing NOC, and she was really excited to see a female ITM come in because usually it doesn't happen. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is. Now, Sally is someone that we talked with on Interop Radio at Hot Stage, and we've talked to her coworker Tim Titus a couple of times. We've also talked to another woman who's on the InteropNet team, Heather Williams, who is in charge of all of the wireless networking. She's with Ruckus Networks. And it is interesting to see the women in those two positions, and I'm sure they are. I think it's wonderful to have a woman here as an ITM member. I think that's very cool. And something that, frankly, I love the idea that before too long, maybe it won't be so unusual. Mm-hmm. That would certainly be a very useful situation to attain. Now, one of the questions that we've had from a listener is how many ITMs are there? Do you know how many of the folks wearing the label ITM there are running around the show this time?
Off the top of my head, no, but it seems like about 6 or 10.
Yeah, I would say I'm not sure of the number either, but I'm guessing 10, 12 maybe, but not a huge number.
No.
And most, I would say most are from a university somewhere,
mm-hmm.
Some not in a university, but early in their careers. But definitely ITMs tend to be people at the front end of their careers who are using this as an opportunity to sort of kickstart things on the tech side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, looking forward, we talked about what you've been doing since we got here. What's on your agenda for the next day or two? Now, we have the conference starting tomorrow, and then the actual expo floor opens Tuesday morning. So what sorts of things do you know you're going to be doing between now and then?
So today I work with SDN Labs again to try and get what they're doing set up. Tomorrow it's part of my responsibility to work certain shifts to help with tickets when something goes wrong on the show floor. And then I'm allowed to go to some of the classes that they're doing here, and I'm really looking forward to the Ansible and Python automation class.
Cool. Very cool. So you're here right through the end of Interop.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your first Interop?
Yes.
What kind of expectations do you have for the show itself?
I'm not really sure what to expect at all. I've been to like maybe one expo in my life, and they're usually very huge and overwhelming. So I'm really not sure what to expect, but I'm looking forward to it.
Outstanding. Well, I guess my last question is, you know, is there anything that you would like listeners to know about the experience of being an ITM or what you've done? Anything they should know about what's going on here?
If there are listeners out there who are, you know, still students or still starting out, I encourage them to try and volunteer next year or to another interop, because it's just, the experience is amazing. It's educational, but in a very fun way, and I'm having a great time, and I'm meeting a lot of great people, and I'm learning a lot of great stuff, and I think a lot of people should try and get in on this.
Outstanding. Well, Ainsley Croteau of the Interoperability Lab at the University of New Hampshire, thank you for taking time out of a busy, busy ITM schedule to be with us today.
Absolutely.
Well, the ITMs are a big piece of what we're doing here, and I'm actually going to ask Ainsley if she sees Chris Stradman out there to ask him to come by and see us. Chris is one of our team leads. Chris is involved with the SDN lab, the Software Defined Networks lab, and they are busy building that lab in the same way that we are building the entire InteropNet. And it's been fun listening to all of the people talk about where they are. Now, at this point, as I said, we are about, let's call it 18 hours from the beginning of the conference. Monday is a day of conference sessions. And then the expo floor here at InterOp opens Tuesday morning. And at this point, they're pretty well built out for all of the wireless downstairs in the conference areas. They are, I know, still at work terminating cables in a couple of the classroom or conference lab settings where they need to have, let's call it, 100 cabled connections for workstations. So they're still busy terminating those. And a lot of the engineers are involved in fine-tuning some of the parameters for things like monitoring software. I listened at lunch to a discussion where people were talking about whether a certain frame size would represent an error condition or not. You know, it's the kind of thing that you have to do if you want to get a consistently good image of what's going on the network. And it's important to have that consistently good image of what's going on the network if you want the network to perform reliably and consistently for all your visitors. And that's exactly what this is all about. At least it's what the InteropNet is all about. We've talked about in previous episodes the difference between the InteropNet and the SDN lab. And one of the chief things is that the InteropNet is indeed a production network. And as a production network, it's important that it be reliable, consistent, high-performing, so that all of the attendees here at InterOp and all of the exhibitors on the expo floor are able to do what they need for their jobs without having to think about the network. As most network engineers will tell you, if they're doing their job right, no one notices them. And that's critical. Now, the SDN lab is exactly that. It's a laboratory. And it doesn't need to be reliable. As a matter of fact, the level of technology they're using, the very new, very cutting-edge stuff, it would be quite unusual if it were highly reliable and consistent. You know, they're involved improving the concept in seeing whether or not things will work while they're in full view of the public. From the point of view of some of the vendors, it's quite brave. I mean, let's be honest, no vendor likes to be in a situation where they're going to have hardware or software that doesn't work perfectly. And yet at the SDN lab, that's exactly what happens. There is hardware and software that will occasionally just fall over. Why? Because it was put into a situation that the engineers had not been able to put it into in their labs. It's exciting, and it's going to be an exciting week here in Las Vegas. Now, I want to talk about what's going to be going on. As I mentioned, our conference starts tomorrow. The conference runs through Friday. The expo floor runs Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Interop Radio is going to be here for all of that. Now, we start tomorrow with two episodes, one at 11 a.m. Pacific time, the other at 4 p.m. Pacific time. So that makes it 2 o'clock p.m. and 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. We'll be on that same schedule for Wednesday, 11 a.m., 4 p.m. Pacific time. Then on Wednesday, it's the same thing, 11 and 4. Thursday, things change a little bit because the expo floor will be closing, so we'll be coming to you at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Pacific time. And Friday, we have a wrap-up show at 2 p.m. Pacific. Well, there's a lot of Interop Radio coming up. We've got interviews coming up with a lot of our vendor representatives. We have speakers from our conference who will be here with us. We're going to have analysis and insight from Information Week editors. It's going to be a great week of Interop Radio, and we hope that you will be here for all of it. Now, remember, all of our shows are available live at the times that I've just mentioned. We're available in streaming form on demand here at Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to be available on iTunes as a podcast. Now, if you're listening to this as a podcast or in the on-demand form, we really appreciate it. We're glad you're able to join us. But we urge you, if you can, try to catch us live, because in addition to the on-air material, we have a great online chat that happens around the radio show. We'd love to have your voice in that conversation, because Interop and Interop Radio is a community. We would absolutely love to have you. Well, for all of us here at Interop and Interop Radio, I'm Kurt Franklin. Thanks so much for being with us. We will see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific time here on Interop Radio.